the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or Brant's book, Unoffendable, go to BrantHanson.com.
This is so brilliant. They figured out a way, and I've been trying to figure this out for a while, but somebody else did it. Figured out a way to get people to be kinder in comment sections following a news story or some kind of blog entry or something like that.
Oh, this is worth
it. Was really brilliant.
Investigating. Okay.
Here's what they did. In order to be able to register your comment, you just briefly have to answer three quick questions about the article.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that brilliant?
Yes, because most people read the headline. I already have what I want to say about that. I go straight
Skip
to the
it entirely.
Yeah.
Which is one reason why on my own blog, my own writing, like, I love people's opinions on stuff, but I've had to, I just shut down the comments because they're not reading the article, and then you're responding to each other, and somebody who's late to the game will get the impression I wrote something I didn't.
That's a good point, yeah.
And, they just have three, like, simple questions based on the content of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have to read the article before you comment on it.
Yeah.
And then if you can't answer the three questions, then you're not allowed to comment. I think it's absolutely genius. One of the things we talk about on the show that's just part of being human is our penchant for self-righteousness, our ability just think that we're the right ones and everybody else is messed up and we kind of got it going on and everybody else is just beyond the pale. And it's interesting. This guy named Jonathan Haidt, I saw him speaking. He's a New York University professor. He's an atheist, outspoken about his atheism. But he's got a book called The Righteous Mind, and his thesis is that humans universally across cultures are just really, really self-righteous creatures by nature. And this is another reason I'm a Christian, because Jesus acknowledges this. He acknowledges right off the bat that that's who we are, and then he totally pokes a hole through it. And repeatedly, he's making the point, you don't measure up like you think you do, and before you correct everybody else, understand you're just as big a sinner. You're just as guilty. So there's no base. I mean, we all have this natural desire to be self-righteous, but man, if you actually believe the gospel, you believe the good news about Jesus and that we can't even earn our salvation with God, there's nothing we can do to earn it, like that just pokes a hole in it. And there's really no other worldview that I can find respectfully that actually does that. The radio program you are listening to right now is epic and is epic and totally amazingly awesome.
Forget that
little mess up, because what's happening here is I am taking the floor of a giant coliseum. That's right, I am wearing traditional Roman gladiatorial garb, including the elbow things, the arm things,
the little skirt the pleated skirt.
Not called a skirt. It's not pleated.
It is pleated.
It's made of leather straps, and it's not called a skirt. And also just cool stuff.
Yes.
And so, but it's not a fight of physical stuff. It's mental. So because it's mental, now it's my chance to shine.
Right.
And so we bring Colton into this, who I've already vanquished. It's something we call Gladiator of Knowledge. Are you ready for this, to face Ranticus?
I'll try a little harder this time.
Yeah, that's why anyone comes on the show. They want to be crushed like a tin can. Okay. Ranticus is leaving the room, and now I'm going to give you a category. You have 20 seconds to come up with as many as you can, all right?
All right.
All right, here we go. And movies out the box office right now. And go.
Logan, Get Out, The Shack, Lego Batman.
Five, four,
oh my goodness.
Three, two, one. That's it. Okay, you got some. You're good.
Okay.
Ranticus, come back into the Coliseum, please.
Come back into the Coliseum.
Okay, here he is.
To vanquish my opponent.
Yes, Colton is your opponent. You ready?
Yeah,
all right, here
totally.
We go. All right, movies at the box office right now. 20 seconds and go.
Oh, my goodness. The Shack. Talk about that. Oh, man.
Wow.
Logan. The.
Five. Four, three,
I don't know,
two, one.
Logan.
Whoa, that we said Logan already. All right, that's unfortunate, because Ranticus has been defeated.
What?
Woo! Colton, congratulations.
Thank you.
He said more than you. That's really all that matters.
Okay.
That sums it up, yep.
This may shock you. Didn't us. Neither one of us. We saw this stat like, I can't believe that. Police say, at least in one city, they have to make more, they get called in more to Chuck E. Cheese than they do to...
Like a nightclub.
Yeah, like nightclubs.
Right. Makes perfect sense to me.
Now, we were wondering what's going on. Like, why Chuck E. Cheese? Why all the sirens and lights?
Why must there be an issue? Yeah. Although, I must say, I go there, I get it, but
I get it too.
What's the issue? What's the core issue there at Chuck E. Cheese that isn't at a nightclub?
I think it's the... Because it's not kids. I mean, they're not the ones calling the police, right?
That's right.
People aren't calling the police on the kids.
Good point.
The adults.
Yes.
I think... I'm just guessing. Mm-hmm. Just the overstimulation.
It's too much for me,
as somebody who's on the autism spectrum, it certainly is.
Oh, with all the bells and the whistles and the tickets and the lights and the...
Animatronic gorillas playing drums and all lights and the buzzers and the beeping and then the screaming kids and then the fluorescent lights and then the darker room and then just the concentration of people. And then
That makes you want to go to fisticuffs? Like, you just turn around and be like, you know what, I'm going to punch a guy out.
I can see, I might get to the point where I'll call the police just to come get me. I think that's where I can see doing
it. Maybe that's what's happening.
Can you come get me? Here's an idea. It's supposed to help you with anger when you're online. Like, somebody tweets something you disagree with. They get into politics. And you're like, oh, that's just so wrong. It's an app that'll automatically, with a tap of the button, you can give to a charity. I think the idea is, I'm sure it is, like, just because you said something against my cause, well, because of that, I'm going to give $5 to...
Right.
I get it. I understand that. I don't think it's going to help you with your anger, though. I really don't. Because you're still doing it. In fact, it automatically sends a tweet back going, well, just because you said that, I did this.
Yeah,
I think
it's like... Just, it fuels your self-righteousness, perhaps.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're doing that. It's really as a get back at them. You're not going through the hard work of extending people grace because God's extended you grace. That's, I don't think it's going to work. I do think, though, it will succeed at taking the fun out of giving. So now you've introduced anger into the giving equation, which is like the one thing you can do to just be, I want to be self-sacrificial, but no, now it's for a purpose. Now it's to win. You should know something if you're new to the show. We're not going to be one of those radio programs. Like, I try really hard to put on a good radio program for you.
Yes, you do.
And, a lot of times radio programs, what they'll do is be like, let's look at this day in history or this day in the almanac. And, oh, did you know it's National Butterfly Day? So support your butterfly, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah.
I'm not going to be bossed around that way. I will not. I don't know who decides these international days, that kind of stuff. I'm not doing it. Like today, cold cut today.
Okay.
No, not okay. I'm not going to do it. This is going to be the show that we feel like today will be the day I will not eat cold cuts.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to be pushed around by some international cabal or secret tribunal or some sort of a group of internationalists that gets together and dictates.
Yeah.
Today is also Dress in Blue Day.
Oh.
No.
Well, your shirt is...
green.
What are the checkers there, blue?
Nope.
What is that?
Gray. Also, it's International Ear Care Day.
Make sure your ears are all right.
Not gonna practice any ear health today. Normally I might. Not today. I'm gonna completely ignore what's best for my ears today.
So now the cold cut day, can I go back to that?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay. So we understand how you feel, but if anyone wants to celebrate, there is a maple honey ham that is at Walmart that is fantastic.
No, we're not celebrating. Not on my show. Get your own show. Not on my show. We're not doing this. Being thankful is a pretty natural response. Somebody gives you something, like a gift card. You want to say thank you. It's just natural. Somebody gives you a new pair of socks for Christmas. Thank you for that. Thank you. I feel for people who can't say thank you for big things. They can't. What I mean by that, somebody who doesn't know about or doesn't want to acknowledge a loving God. So I can thank somebody for new socks, but I can't thank anybody for two legs to run on. I can't thank anybody for beautiful sunshine. Can't thank anybody for loved ones in my life, or even having life at all, for having consciousness, for being able to love people, for being able to be loved, for big laughter. I can't thank anybody for that. Who do I thank? I can't imagine that. And how awesome is it that we get to do this? I mean, if you're somebody who is a believer in a loving God and you know somebody's responsible, Capital S, somebody's responsible. How great is it? I don't want to miss a chance to thank him. It's not only just true, it's really actually good for us, because, man, he's being really good to us. There's a guy named Michael Pollan. I mentioned this before, but it's worth talking about. Like, if you eat, you'll find this interesting. Most of you eat. the guy started something. It's called The Omnivore's Dilemma. It's a great book. And the guy decided he was going to make a meal where he was responsible for everything from the very start. And he'd never hunted before. So he had to learn how to hunt in order to, I think he got a wild boar. Mm-hmm. And then he wound up preparing that. But he planted the seeds. Like, he got everything he needed for this meal, he would be able to trace back. And it's really a great story. It's very interesting about food. But he gets to the end. Here's a guy who doesn't believe in God, and he acknowledges that. Great book. Gets to the end, and he's prepared this incredible meal. Well, in this process, he had spent time on a farm with some Christians, a Christian family. And he thought they were a little interesting, a little odd, a little, you know, kind of studying them. He's from San Francisco. They live in Virginia. It was all kind of interesting. But he respected them. And when he got done ready for his meal, he had friends over, and they had, you know, glasses of wine, and they had the wild boar, all the stuff that he had done, all this work to prepare, and it's sitting in front of him. And he knows what went into this. And he said, you know what, I wanted to thank somebody, but I couldn't. So I said some nice words like, hey, thank you for being here, to my friends, and then we ate. But I thought, man, that's really interesting. He didn't know who to thank. Mm-hmm. Like, he was able to see the beauty of how we are able to replenish our own bodies, because we're made out of the stuff we're eating, like how that all works, the cycle of it all. But the Christian family was able to sit there and acknowledge the Son of God as a sustainer of life. And he wasn't able to point at anything. And it was a little bit sad. Great book, Omnivore's Dilemma. But yeah, a little bit sad that he turned around, he didn't know who to give thanks to. A little surprising talking to Charles on the phone right now. He's a seminary student, intern pastor, who's really into professional wrestling. That surprised me, Charles. But you say it's all about the physicality and the storytelling and stuff like that?
And believe it or not, and I've given this a lot of thought, I've actually written a short paper on it. It has a lot in common with ancient Greek tragedy.
You buy in that, Brant?
At the heart, it's storytelling. I would be into it if they did it with mimes.
Oh my goodness.
Because I think like the raw physicality that you're talking about, to be able to just spin a story, mm-hmm. an epic adventure with just mime stuff would be taking it to the next level. Like if you stood on top of the turnbuckles as a mime,
uh-huh.
and then mimed a move. I mean, it's basically what they're doing anyway.
Good point.
I'd like them to wear the stuff.
The makeup.
Yeah.
Okay. And the beret. And it's suspenders.
They could still be huge. That's
muscle-bound mimes.
MME. You know what? They should totally do that. Because yeah. that would get the crowd into it. They would. Because a lot of people, yeah. this is weird to me, Charles. I don't get it. But a lot of people don't like mimes at all. And they would like to see them get pummeled.
So you're killing two birds
yeah,
with one
so
stone.
Yeah,
sure.
Macho Man against the mime.
He could have like a special submission finisher called the Invisible Box.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
I see this coming together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I could see it.
Well, I know Vince McMahon listens to the show.
Oh
so
yes, avid listener.
Vince,
it's all yours.
It's all you, baby. So the movie The Shack is really controversial.
It is. I didn't even know.
Oh yeah, I knew.
So you told me. Yeah, you knew.
I knew. but I talked to the author,
mm-hmm.
and some people on Facebook were not pleased that I even talked to him.
Yes. And they didn't give the indication that they listened
no,
to
I don't think they did.
The interview. They were just upset.
Just
that
the
you...
idea that I would associate myself. Like, but I try to make the point. I will. In fact, I did make the point.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'll interview anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And like across things. That's neither up nor down on the
right.
show. I don't want to say anything down about it either. Mm-hmm. Just like kind of weird. But a guy jumped in good humor and said, well, would you interview me? I'm like, yeah. So that was Charles. He just heard a few minutes ago.
Yeah, we absolutely
get him on
said,
the phone.
Yeah, why not?
So one other thing, Charles, I wanted to ask you. Was,
since you volunteered.
Yeah, exactly. I saw this thing where Elon Musk is going to launch people into space, like do a little trip around the moon. Would you do that? I mean, if it was free, if we were able to give away a ticket, would you do the free thing, even if it's kind of dangerous? Or
oh, yeah. I I'd take the moonshot. I don't even think they're landing on the moon. I think it's going up around it.
Exactly.
I mean, that sounds easy.
Okay.
You know, the hard part is landing on it and coming back.
No, I think getting up there is probably going to be a little difficult, too, don't you think?
And you would just accept it on the spot without talking to your wife.
You're not going to talk to your wife about it, Charles?
I mean, I'd have to discuss it. I know she'd be a hard no right out of the gate.
Okay, so I tell you what. You and Brant go head up to the moon, and then your wife and I will sit down at Starbucks and hang out till you guys get back.
No. I'm not going.
You're not? Wait a minute.
No. I didn't say
you
I was going.
You roped Charles into it, and
no,
you're not
no,
going?
I would love to go, don't get me wrong. I would love.
Okay.
Love to go.
Yeah.
But my wife would
She's
not.
She's not going for that.
No, and I would have to honor that.
Okay.
No,
so you
want
to go, but you're
but
not going to be able to make it.
If there was an accident, I wouldn't be like, I don't like that.
Okay.
It was totally optional. I didn't need to do that.
Right.
It was hard to, I've been to Afghanistan a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Each time it's a negotiating process with her.
Right.
And it served a larger purpose. But
the moon's not for you serving a larger
that's
purpose.
For kicks.
That's just about you.
Yeah, that's just about me having a good time. They do these wacky news stories, and I see it, they're like called Oddly Enough or Crazy Wacky News or whatever, and it's supposed to be hilarious. I think 90% of them are sad.
Like?
Well, like this one, this lady, wacky but true, a woman is now $1 million in debt.
Why are you reading it like
because
that?
Because that's how they talk.
That's your wacky news voice? Okay.
That's my wacky. You know, it's wacky but true. A woman is now $1 million in debt. After she thought she won the lottery. And
okay.
She's a Vietnamese woman.
Mm-hmm.
Thought she won the lottery, and she decided to just buy gifts for her whole family.
And she didn't win.
Splurged like crazy. Gave to charity like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got to the place and realized that one of her numbers was off.
Ooh.
So now she's $1 million in debt. So is that funny?
No, I don't think that's funny.
She gave a bunch to charity, and she wanted to buy things for her family really badly, and then she found out it wasn't her, and now she's in debt, and what does she do? I think if I won, like, the Powerball or something, the odds against me winning it are amazing.
Okay.
Because
you don't
play.
Yeah, so that makes it real hard to win.
It makes it even lower than normal.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would bail her out.
You would.
Wouldn't that be sweet?
That would be. Just make sure you won.
Yeah, just make sure.
I know, I'm sorry.
That
okay.
is not
All
funny,
right. It's Sherry. Not. You're right, I'm sorry.
It's a little funny. It's funnier than this. Your thing was actually funny. That thing wasn't. Okay, maybe this will totally bomb. That's okay, because, you know, been there. The show has the occasional bombing. It's all right.
We don't shy away from it here.
But I genuinely don't know what this means, and maybe you'll know what this means. I turn to Sherry, awesome producer of the program. They did this study about men, online dating study, Wayne State University, blah, blah, blah. But they said that less attractive guys who are more emotionally responsive end up seeming more attractive than guys who are good looking but less emotionally responsive.
Okay.
What do they mean by emotional
responsive? That's what I was going to ask you. I don't know what emotionally responsive means.
To me, it would be like, what emotion?
Yeah, right.
Like a guy who's explosively angry, well, that's emotionally responsive.
Right.
He's more attractive. That's not my experience.
I don't think so. Do they mean the fact that you know that you're in touch with, like, if I'm talking and you're emotionally connected to me talking, like you're actually vibing with me? Is that what that means? Or
yeah,
it means
maybe
the
it is.
Actual.
It's just responding to your emotions, emotionally responsive. But it's got to be what type of. I still think there's something about. Like, I know what my wife likes.
Mm-hmm.
She likes it. When I make her, when I build her up and also make her feel secure, not threatened, secure. They asked Bill Gates a question. Pretty good answer. He asked, or they asked him, like, what's the biggest problem for millennials? And he said, isolation. I think it's a pretty good answer. Deep down, and this made me think of this too. Deep down, I had years ago a guy who was a professor of counseling or psychology or whatever, but he'd been a counselor for years and years and years. And he told me that 90% of the people that would come into his practice for counseling on different things, 90% of it came down to loneliness. And I never forgot that. And then every time we had a psychologist on or a counselor, which was fairly frequently, I'd ask the same question, like, do you think that's true? Like 90%? They all agreed that that's true, except for one guy I talked to. And he's a counselor to the stars, like to celebrities, and exclusively, pretty much, it's just people who are in the limelight, like grade A list, whatever, and also some Christian artists.
Mm-hmm.
He counsels them. Because I don't think this is just a millennial issue. I think it's everybody. But I asked him, do you think 90% is true? He said, no, I don't. So he's the only guy that disagreed. He said it's 100%.
Isolation is the problem.
Yeah. A deep isolation. You can be surrounded by people. But man, if you're lonely, you are so not alone. It is very common. And he said even among these celebrities, like they're deeply lonely. And maybe even more so than other people are, because we're not connected to community like we used to be. Like, it's just things have changed, and we can pretend, but we're really not. We're not in each other's lives like we used to be. I think you were kind of asking, is it worse for introverts?
I think so, because I think as an extrovert, one thing that doesn't necessarily bother me is I don't have shyness, obviously.
Yeah, right.
So I can just go out there and you know, and so it helps somewhat with isolation, especially when I moved away from my family and everything. It wasn't daunting for me to go and make friends and talk to people. But if you're an introvert, how does that work? I hope that's not an insulting question.
No, I don't think it is at all. I do think, obviously, it's harder for us to meet people. But I don't think there's much difference.
Okay.
Because extroverts, you can build up a false self.
That's true.
And then have to keep that up for people.
And you can build up false circles, too. So you can have a bunch of people around you, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're not isolated.
No, and you can be extremely popular and simultaneously extremely lonely.
Good point.
And I think we just want to be known. Mm. We want to know other people, too. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But we really want to be known. And so if you're an extrovert, but you're used to just kind of putting up this persona, that can lead to despair without the hope of really knowing God and having him know you through and through, and having people around you who know you and still love you. Like, they know you through and through, and you know if, like, they're not going to leave. I think ultimately
that's what everyone's looking for, regardless.
Extrovert, introvert,
yeah,
that's what we want. So this list of things you're not supposed to poke fun at a guy about. We're most sensitive about how much money we make, apparently. Our hair, our height, those are top three.
Okay.
And I was thinking, I can handle pretty much all that stuff, I think.
Okay, money?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But I was trying to remember if I've been teased as an adult in a way that really stung me. And I have.
Okay.
And I remember what it was. It's actually one of the artists that we play said something about me.
Okay.
And it was just offhand. You know how you give some people permission?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I usually poke fun at myself first.
Right, right.
That way, if you do it, okay,
yeah.
You know, I did it first.
Yeah. So show you're not taking yourself too seriously.
But this guy, like, I have this neurological condition that makes my head move and my eyes move. There's nothing I can do about it.
Right.
Lives my whole life. Well, I'll give you permission, but if you jump the gun and you make fun of me before...
Wait for my joke before you give yours. My joke gives you entry, right?
Yeah, he made up a name for me, and it was derogative, and it actually
stung. Before you did the joke?
Totally.
Ooh.
There was no permission granted for that, and I've had to let it drop. You know, I still remember it, clearly, but I just was like, okay, well, maybe he just felt so comfortable with me or something.
You guys, had you interviewed him before? Were you friends?
Talked to him
were you
or
cool?
Twice.
Okay.
It's kind of, you know.
That's still a little tricky there.
It was a little tricky. Like, well, that kind of hurts, sir.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or Brant's book, Unoffendable, go to BrantHanson.com.